Oh, glory. Good to be home in this refreshing presence. Amen. It's always good to get physical refreshing, but there's nothing like just stepping back into worship and the presence of God and the people of God. Amen. And we, as we were gone, of course, we think about you and pray for you, and just good to be home. We had a great time. Now, I do say that I missed waking up this morning and not having breakfast delivered out on our deck as we sat on the rear of the ship watching the ocean go by. That's not hard to take. But we woke up this morning and went down for prayer and went and got our protein drink out of the refrigerator and said, oh, we're home. The Lord's so good, amen? Amen? And so good to be in His presence. And just appreciate your prayers. And we had an uneventful trip, thank to your prayers. We did have one little ordeal where we were stuck in a tree for about 15 minutes waiting for the monkeys to clear the zip line. But other than that, it wasn't too bad of a delay. And so just do appreciate your prayer and holding us up. It was a time that we surely did enjoy ourselves. We want to pick up kind of where we were in our last session and just spend a little bit of time again realizing that in the hour that we're in, more than ever, we need to reestablish ourselves on the sure foundation of God's Word. Amen? On that sure foundation of the finished work of redemption and letting it be that thing that is always before our eyes. We talked in the last session that we were here about how vital it is for our children to allow that principle that we learned many years ago ourselves of how important it was to let the Word of God be written upon the doorposts of our home. Amen? To make sure that the Word of God is foremost in our lives when we rise up, when we walk in the way, when we lie down, that our kids are hearing the Word of God the first thing in the morning, the last thing at night. That they see us saturating ourselves with the Word of God. I was so blessed over the years as I remember Kimberly as a teenager and in the evenings sometimes going in to say goodnight to her and she would already be in bed with her tape playing, listening to the Word of God being taught every night. As a young person, she grew up and all she saw was Dad reading the Word, studying the Word, listening to the Word. And it does get into our children's lives. Amen? Amen. As we train them up in the way that they should go, when they're old, they will not depart from it. And for those of us that have children that are wandering, it's not over yet. Amen. Amen? That Word's still in them. It is still alive. It's at work in them, praise God. And it does not return void. Can you say praise God for that? Amen. Amen. This battle's not over yet. And so we continue to stand on their behalf. But beloved, the only thing we've got working, we're not going to, quote, love them into it. We're not going to coax them into it. That Word of God is bringing conviction upon them every day by the voice of the Holy Spirit, and there's nowhere they can run. We've put it in there for life, praise God. Amen? Amen? Nowhere to go from the presence of God. Though I go to hell, thou art there. And so we realize that we have that confidence and that great assurance of the power and the authority and the effectiveness of this Word. It's not ink and paper and leather. It is alive and it is powerful. Amen. And so with that confidence, as we continue to stir ourselves up again in the great promises of God's word, it's more than just having an awareness of the effectualness of the word that we need in this hour, though. It's the application. It's going back and searching the word and finding out, where am I not applying this in my life? It's one thing to say the word of God is sure to 1,000 generations. It's one thing to declare out of Psalms that you've taken your word and you've placed it even above your holy name. The issue is, what are we doing with the word of God, and what priority are we giving it in our lives? Amen. Now, God states in that 38, is it? Psalm 138, that word is raised up even above that holy name. Think about it for just a moment. That name that's above all names, that name at which every knee will bow, the great name Elohim, Jehovah. This word is the revelation to us of who God is. It isn't revealing all that God is, but it's revealing all that we need to know of who God is and how he relates to his creation. Amen? And so we boast in it. And God elevates it to that place. And many of us acknowledge, but don't apply. And so I want to be encouraged myself and encourage you to go back and say, I want to read the word and search the word of God afresh with the idea of, what am I missing? What in my life can I do better at this time that your word requires of me? And one of the things I can do better that it requires of me is to spend more time with him in it. Amen. And so we see the scriptures and we see the great power and authority of the word of God that's revealed to us. But beloved, if we're to be strengthened in this hour, if the time were not shortened, even the very elect would enter into some form of deception, spiritual corruption, would not be able to stand this hour that's coming upon humanity. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And so as we see the hour, iniquity abounding, the love of many waxing cold, how do we take our spiritual pulse? How do we really see what manner of man we are, as James says? Have you ever been guilty of seeing yourself in better shape than you really are? I'm not talking physically. I just went through a physical thing. On one of our outings, we were riding these ATVs, and for about 30 minutes, we were on this road that was just looked like a war zone. There were potholes. It made 777 road at its worst look like a freeway. And we're running down this thing on these ATVs, and so I think it was like 30 minutes in and 30 minutes out, just bang, 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 and you couldn't sit. You know, the whole thing is just, you're just standing on the pegs and your quads. And the next day I was like, whew, hadn't done that for a while. You know, I was feeling pretty good about myself, walking 5 miles every day. I'm in pretty good shape. You know, my cardiovascular is pretty good, but I thought of myself a little more highly than I ought to have thought, because as it pertained to that, I wasn't in shape. Well, you know, there's areas in our lives that we're out of shape spiritually, and we don't know it until we're put to the test. Amen. But the only way to prepare ourselves for those tests is through the word of God. Because it's the trying then of our faith, or of the word that we're putting in us, that works patience and strength and stability and consistency in our lives. James says that we must continue in it so that we don't forget what manner of men we really are. We can get deceived pretty quickly if we're absenting ourselves from the Word of God. Now we'll see in the teaching in Jesus' parable of the sower, doing your devotions, being consistently reading the Bible is not what it's all about. It's hearing and doing. Amen?
Amen.
It's allowing it to transform us continually. If you keep reading the Word every day in your devotions, but you don't change, you're not hearing what God's saying. And you're then deceiving yourself. It's a dangerous thing to continue in all of the good promises of God's Word that make you feel good, that justify your positions possibly, and not receive the whole counsel of God. Dangerous thing. To go into the Word of God with preconceived ideas of what God is going to say. Go in with an open heart. Go in desiring to change and to be more Christ-like. The Word and the Word alone is what's going to give us that spiritual life, that energy to continue to pursue, that we might know more. And so the Scripture clearly speaks to us. You might want to turn over to Peter's epistle for just a moment. And we see in the epistles here of Peter that he's admonishing us in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. Now, some of us would sit here and go, well, you know, I'm not a babe. I'm mature in Jesus now. I've been saved for a long time. The real issue here is not our maturity. The real issue is that when you partake of this Word, you will grow. Amen? Even the milk of the Word causes growth. So it doesn't have anything to do with deep revelations. It has to do with the nurture, the very nature, the life of God coming into us. You know as well as I do that when you rise up in the morning, and I know myself at times, and even just on the trip, as you just sit down and open the Word and clear everything and hear the voice of God. Just one word from God brings refreshing and strength and energy to our lives. Amen? And so many of us think that we got to get to the gym so I can, you know, just kind of work out, get a little energy up. Read the Word of God. You'll get plenty of energy. It'll bring you the refreshing. It'll subdue your mind. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying that we do put too much credibility in it and we put too much time in it because many of us spend more time worried about this outward man than we do the inward man. Now, we've said before, if that doesn't apply to you, duck and let it hit the person behind you. But every one of us shouldn't be ducking on that one. We should be jumping up and letting it hit us dead in the face, man. Because whether it's working out, whether it's primping, whether it's hair cuts and, dear Lord, apparel and you name it. How much time do we put into the outer man? We're so concerned about growing educationally, academically. You know, we want to be able to make sure that we measure up to the world. The world's wisdom is foolishness. Amen? Our plane was filled 90% with people coming to that march when we were flying up from Florida. So the guy that sits next to Greer starts off by making, I don't even know how the conversation got started, but he said, I just want you to know that I'm very passionate about this thing that we're going to and this and that. And so I'm very passionate and really speak my mind. So I told him, I said, don't apologize. I happen to speak my opinion without apology also. You have something to say? And we begin to discuss the topic. And I won't bog this thing down, but the point I'm trying to make is this. We're spending time trying to look like the world, be educated like the world, think like the world, dress like the world. And we're already 10 times better than they are if we'll hear the wisdom of God and continue on the course that we were raised. Amen? Amen? You're not going to succeed when you leave DT here and go to university somewhere and start trying to adapt their methodology. You continue on the course you've been in and you'll be raised up above all of them, praise God. And God will have a place for you. And so he began to go on about all of the issues and that, you know, just there's no hope and there's what can we do and how can we protect and da, 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 da. And he went on and on and on. And I said, well, try this on. I said, the Bible says that the protector of the children should be the fathers. I said, why don't some of the fathers stop chasing the mighty dollar? And you know, they're big on the Second Amendment. And I said, and take the Second Amendment, which calls for a militia, and start a county school system militia, arm themselves, take off work, go to the school 2 to 3 times a month, if necessary, armed, and protect your children. And your children are here marching saying, we're afraid to go to school. Your children should not be afraid if they have a dad in the home who isn't afraid, praise God. So I said, try that one on. And he looked at me and he goes, man. God's word is true, amen? Their wisdom is foolishness. But just as they sit back and look at the federal government and say, do something. Too many of us are looking to the government and to natural resources, whether it be financially or medically or whatever, and saying, do something. And we already have the answer, praise God. He sent his word and he's healed us. Amen. We have the mighty promises of God given to us right here that pertain to finances, that pertain to our physical health, that pertain to our mental health. We just need to live in the Word. We haven't seen the answer yet? Add more Word and stir. Amen. Because if we take this sincere milk of the word and partake of it, we will grow, praise God. It is impossible, but that we will grow. Jeremiah speaks it very clearly to us and says in the 15th chapter, verse 16, this passage we're familiar with, but he says, thy words were found, I did eat them. This phrasing, I did eat them, I partook of them, I digested them. My expectation was to receive nutrition. And he says, thy word then became unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Who do I call my friends? Who do I call my children? Those that do the word of God. Amen? Amen. The word became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You know what's ironic? One of the things that takes us most quickly from the word of God is depression, is unthankfulness, discouragement. When the scripture tells us here, the way to get encouraged, the way to receive back joy and strength is by going to the word, not running from it. Amen? Amen. You know, it takes a moment after you eat to get the energy back. My metabolism doesn't react quite like Greer's does. And so when Greer and I are out and about and we're busy, and it happened one time on this particular trip, and we're going along, and all of a sudden she just hits the wall, man. She's like, and so I look at her and go, you out of fuel? She's like, I need some calories, man. Now see, I've got a storage tank I carry with me for times like this. So I have to be aware, you know, that that doesn't always work. So it's funny, and I watch her, and I'll see, we'll sit down, we'll get something to eat, and she'll eat. And all of a sudden, you can see life coming back. But it doesn't happen with the first bite. It's the second dessert, usually, that kicks it in. You know, and then all of a sudden you're back and you're there. And some of us treat the word, we partake of the word, and we don't get an instantaneous reaction. Keep eating. Amen. Amen. I found your word and I ate it, and it became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Just stay in the word. Continue to mutter the word day and night, and then your way will be made successful, and you will have great success. Praise God. You may prosperous and have good success. Oh, beloved, time for the word of God. Time for the presence of God. We can fellowship with him. This word is alive. It's how God not only talks to us. It's the expression of its love. These love letters. It's an encouragement. That he's aware of our needs, that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, that he has nothing for us but good success, praise God. Encouragement. Many of us go to natural sources for encouragement. Why not get divine encouragement? Somebody that can do something about it. And so the prophet makes it very clear that he pursued this word and he ingested it, that it would become that psychological strength. You see, many of us need to be encouraged, our minds. We need a new mindset. We look for things, our circumstances to change without reprogramming our minds with the word of God. Those that we've talked about as we were in our last sessions, those of us that are having marital problems. The problem is you need to reprogram your mind with the word of God and see what God says your role is in this thing and do it, and you won't have problems anymore. The only problem with your marriage is you both have chosen not to do the word of God. It's not the other person. It's not I've fallen out of love. It's not circumstances. It's rebellion to the word of God and fulfilling your divine role. And that's all that's causing the problems. Don't shout me down now. That's good preaching, praise God. Well, what about them? You're already off the word. You see, we say we believe the word. We say the word is infallible, God-breathed, inerrant. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then we don't do what it says. We choose our emotions. My feelings got hurt. I was sinned against. So what? Join the club. Amen? And Jesus has experienced everything that every one of us in this room has experienced in its fullness upon Himself. Amen? To deliver us from the curse of sin and the power of the human condition. And was made sin with our sin so we could forgive with His forgiveness and love with His love and serve with His heart. Amen? And the real issue is, we just won't do the work. There's not one thing in here that says you have to feel like it. Just says do it. I don't want to do it. I don't care. Do it anyway. Amen? Declare that it's true. Why don't you step up and have reality come into existence in your life and call the things that are temporal foolishness and lies and this word that is settled forever in heaven. Amen? John 17, thy word is truth, praise God. Why not let the word be true and your emotions be wrong for one time? Amen? Why not let the word be true and your suspicions be wrong for one time? Well, you know what I think. You know what I think they're thinking? Well, why don't I just go to the Word and go, you know, love doesn't think evil. Amen? It doesn't vaunt itself and demand its own way and its own perception. Love is the expression of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's gentle and kind, it's forgiving, it's faithful. Oh, we say we believe the Word, but then it comes down to these simple applications. And frankly, too much of our time is often spent on looking at the Word as it pertains to bless me, rather than humble me, make me a lover, make me a servant, make me a preacher of this gospel. There's multitudes going to an eternal hell, and I have the answer, but I allow my fears to stifle me. Oh, what an opportunity to get back into this relationship with the Word of God like many of us tragically knew better when we were younger in the faith than we know now. We were fast, quick to act on it when we were first believers. And now we need it proven to us. Prove to me that's the Word of God. It's written. I don't need to interpret that for you. You don't need an interpretation. Do what it says. Amen? How about that simplicity? Once we allow the Word of God to become that simple again in our lives, the thing for which many of us have been criticized over the years for doing, you're just a read it and do it. Well, we are, but I'd like to do it more and better. Amen? But the fact is, God does not need an interpreter. He needs a mouthpiece. He needs an exhorter. He needs a prophet. He needs someone who will take his words and let them come into his bones and burn like a fire and can't be quenched from speaking the things that they've seen and heard. Praise God. And make no apologies for the word, without to the world or within to the body of Christ. It's what God's word says, and it's what we're going to do, bless God. Amen? For your word is truth, praise God. You know, we won't take a lot of time, but turn over to Mark for just a moment, Mark chapter 4 and Matthew 13, where Jesus is teaching concerning the Word of God. And he said, if you don't know this parable, how can you understand any of the truths I'm trying to communicate to you in the parables that I presented? Basically, what Jesus is saying there is this. He's saying, until you understand that the Word is preeminent, this parable on the Word of God and the condition of our hearts is paramount, until we can resolve that, we'll never be able to really receive or hear the mysteries of God. Until you get it working practically. And in the Mark 4, and there's so much emphasis given to the bad ground so that we can identify the conditions of our hearts. But I don't want to refer to that right now. I just want to refer to the good ground. And in Mark chapter 4, as he's speaking here, he talks about in verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, the simple truth that we want to look at here is this. You hear it, you receive it, there then must be what? Fruit. Has to be. A good heart. A spiritual heart, a heart that's seeking truth and not our own way. And we can apply this to our community relationships. We can apply it to the marriages as we've been talking about, whatever you might want to do. But beloved, the most difficult thing for any of us to do is to become agenda free. I mean, to wrestle with God as Jacob did, to sweat drops of blood as Jesus did in Gethsemane, and finally arrive at this, not my will, thy will be done. Amen? Do you desire more than rubies, more than silver and gold? Do you desire more than anything else in the world to be in the perfect will of God? I mean, as we read the Proverbs, we see the value put upon the Word of God, don't we? Do you love truth this morning? You can't handle the truth. You know, that's true for us many times. It never ceases to amaze me in all of the counseling sessions that we've done over all of these years, how people do not come in looking for truth. They come in looking for vindication, that they're in the truth, my side. There's a conflict here, and we've come, Pastor, for counsel so you can straighten them out. You can't handle the truth. Thy word is truth, praise God. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free from self-agenda, from self-love, from self-pity, from self-indulgence. And so he says there's fruit then that has to be manifest. If we're not changing, if we're not progressing, then the word's not entering into you. You're reading it. But you're not assimilating it. There's no nutrition. See, the word needs to sit there for a little bit. And so we realize that this love for the word of God. Look over at Matthew 13 and he gets a little more specific in this particular verse. He says in verse 18, if anybody hears the word and understands it not. Now that word understand, we've taught in the past and you know, it means to unite together with or to become one with. It's not comprehension. It's not a mental comprehending and understanding. It's a coming together, it's a true intercourse of the Word of God, a joining together and a oneness with. And so this is how the Word of God is to come into our lives. More than we would like to imagine, it stops in our heads and it needs to get into our hearts. It needs to become who we are, not what we believe. Amen? We're known by our doings, the scripture says. By our fruit, we're known. And so he says, when you hear the word and then become united together with it, it's kind of like that principle we were sharing with you on submission. See, we're submitting to the word. In other words, we're not subjugating ourselves. We are becoming one and taking that ideology, that philosophy, that truth on as our own. Well, that's what that says. I don't exactly understand it or agree with that, but you're God. And so I'll submit to it. No, you've got to come to the place where you see it as truth. It's right, you're wrong. Amen? When you approach the Word of God that way, he says, it's going to bring about a strength. Now, if you don't become united with it in that way, he goes on to say, if you don't accept that and apply it, Satan will come then and snatch that thing away from you. He goes on and says in verse 21, or no, excuse me, over in verse 23, when you receive the word into good ground, that's the heart that hears and understands and brings forth fruit. Now that word understand, again, we see means to unite with or to come together as one. The moment the word becomes separate thinking, separate wisdom that I'm trying to acquire, it shows I'm not united with it. I'm not in submission yet. I'm not obedient. There can never be conflict of mind between our thoughts and the Word of God. We can't think any other way. Train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the word of the Lord. We know what that means. It means to brainwash them. You know, we've had people that have criticized us over the years and some of the people at these articles and all of this nonsense and things that people come and say, well, you know, they brainwash their children. Yes, we do. And tragically, we've done a bad job on some. And some of us are in the place right now where if we're not careful, we're going to become guilty of diluting this word, of letting our children think that there's another way to think. There is no other wisdom. Amen? Amen. There is no other truth. No, here's the truth. Here's the word of God. Why are we not Calvinists? Very simple. God's not willing that any should perish. Well, how many other verses do you have? How many more do you need to believe God? Oh, I can give you more verses. But you see the point I'm making. So when we attack lies with the truth, there begins to be a defensiveness. When you speak the truth in the presence of people who do not make the Word of God preeminent, absolutely trustworthy, infallible, inerrant, they want to begin to ask questions. Well, what about this? And what about that? My question is, what about this issue and that scripture that you're refusing to do? And how can you know the rest of the parables and the wisdom of God if this parable's not already settled in your heart? That I will unite with the Word of God, it will become truth to me, and I will not believe philosophy, I will not believe emotions, I will not believe the majority, I will believe what is obviously, purely, simply stated in the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. You see, when you can accept the word as spoken and true in every area but one, guess what that one area is to you? Well, I accept the word as true and I accept that and that and that. But this situation now, can you please, let's go to the scriptures and come, let us reason together over this one issue. So you can accept all of the rest of the word at face value, but in this one area, one scripture is not enough for you? One verse isn't enough. I want to tell you something. I will hang my life on one verse as it pertains to any topic. Because every other verse that you want to go to will support that. Oh, how we have to fall back in love with the Word of God. How we have to approach the Word of God again as little children and simply receive what God says at face value. And if you don't become united with it, Satan will come and will snatch this Word out of your heart. And once he takes that revelation, he's going to get the next one. So as it comes to training our children in a world of gray, these people are so confused. That guy I told you we were sitting next to, America's the greatest country in the world, but I'm a socialist. I said, there isn't a successful socialist country in the world. What makes us great is free enterprise. What makes us great is the documents that are written here. We just need to do what it says. And you know that this one amendment that you all are up in error, it's the only amendment that says about itself, and you can't revoke it. So guess what? You can't revoke it. You can't revoke it. You can't get rid of it. It's like the Bible. It is written. That's what I told him. I said, just like it is written. You got to do what it says. If you don't do what the Bible says, you're not a Christian. If you don't do what the Constitution says, you're not an American. And those of us that were in the military, we took an oath to protect this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Amen? And that means protesters. And we're to protect our country from anybody who's opposing the law. Henceforth, you ain't getting my guns. That was part of this guy's argument, and I shared with him where he was wrong on that. The thing, he's saying the Second Amendment was just to come a militia to protect ourselves from foreign invasion. And I told him, I said, no, the Second Amendment was to keep us from foreign invasion, sure. At that time, primarily, you got to remember why this thing was written and in what environment it was written. Primarily, we were not going to have any tyrants over us anymore. England was not going to come back and lord it over us. And of course, you always got the French to worry about. And sorry, French people. And so here we are. But the biggest danger was from within. Because there's always, at times like this, in a void, power seekers. And so basically he's saying, you tote your own iron and protect what's yours. And defend these truths and these laws against both foreign and domestic enemies. Same as the church. Among you, there's going to rise up wolves. Amen? And so this word, this sword of the Spirit that protects us from deception and false doctrine and wolves in sheep's clothing, everyone has to measure up to the word. Oh, you're a Christian? What big teeth you have. Never seen a sheep with teeth like that. It's easy to see who a Christian is. Amen? Those that love him and keep his commandments. Those that do his word. And so as we're starting out this morning, just looking again at the simplicity of going back and applying it to ourselves. Remember, we're not talking about looking out and checking whether everybody else. We're talking about looking and saying, am I where God wants me right now? Is the word of God, are there areas where I'm uncomfortable with what it's requiring of me? Is it hard now? Have you gotten to the place, you know, when you first got saved, dear Lord, there was nothing going to stop you in your pursuit of God. Amen? There's nobody could stop you from sharing Jesus, from wanting to lay hands on somebody, from going to the prayer closet, from coming together, hunting down fellowship with believers, devouring the Word of God. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow, look, that's truth, praise God. Look at that. What? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Hallelujah. Open the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. Every time you found something. I want you to come out of the world. Okay, see you guys later. Lifetime friends, right? You did it, I did. As soon as I got saved, my lifetime buddy said, I preached the gospel to him. They said, we're not interested. Said, catch you later, Jack. I'm finding new friends. I am a companion of those that keep your commandments. Amen? Isn't that what Psalm says in 119? And none of it was hard. And it wasn't hard to leave mother and father. And worldly success. Has it become hard? Are the things that were once easy? The divesting of everything to obtain the pearl of great price? Nothing held back. I just need Jesus. Is that where you are today? You can have this job. You can have this home. You can have all these possessions. You can keep your little clan and family and go your way. As for me and my house, we're serving God. Is that how you relate to the word today? Is it just as refreshing and just as real and just as precious to you as it's ever been? And in fact, it should be more as we grow thereby. As we get a greater understanding of who our Father is, we should love Him more, not less. And so as we finish up this morning, we go back and we see what He's saying in that parable to make sure that we're uniting with the Word. I'll say it one more time. It's all we think. The Word is the first thing that comes out of our mouth. There is no other standard. There are no exceptions. And are our children being raised that way? Have we allowed values of the world system to entice them, the very things that we broke from, the very things that we wept over, fasted over, agonized over, died over to be free from, we're letting them dabble with? This is your wisdom. Amen? Isn't that what the scripture says? This is what makes you different than the nations. These commandments. And so as we love the Word of God, and we'll close with this for this morning. All that we would come to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's made reference to a number of times. That's the Deuteronomy 8 passage. But as we begin to see this love for the nutrition that comes from the Word of God, the obedience to the Word of God that brings life and strength and joy and peace and deliverance and wisdom, has it lost the preciousness in our eyes that it once had? Well, we can come up with a lot of different answers, but truthfully, the only way we can answer that question is by our fruit. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy to us. How much of this Word is seen in my daily activity, my conversation, my thoughts, my decisions? Oh, that we would love Your Word and keep Your commandments, and they would be more precious to us than gold. Yea, than fine gold. More to be desired are they, the scripture says. Really? More to be desired than all the wealth that this world can bring to us. Do I love Your Word that way? We agonize over trying to please a bunch of pagan people worshiping a system of mammon and corporation idolatry, and burn ourselves out trying to please them and be big in their eyes, and don't have time to come to You and Your Word and say it's more precious to me than silver and gold. Yea, than fine gold. Where's the fruit? Long hours in this Word will make us look more like Jesus. For God and His Word are one. And we thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Thy Word is truth, praise God. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.